Back in John chapter 12 again today. We're going to finish up John chapter 12. And if y'all remember anything, we've gone through all kinds of stuff in John chapter 12. Just try to catch y'all up. In the beginning of John chapter 12, remember Lazarus. Lazarus is at the table with Mary and Martha. And Mary anoints Jesus' feet with the oil. And Judas gets mad, and the disciples kind of rebuke Jesus, I guess, a little bit because he let him do it. And Jesus says that she had done this for his burial, and that he wouldn't be with them always. And then we saw the triumphal entry, that where Jesus comes in, and they're expecting this conquering king. And they're quoting the verses that show Jesus be the conquering king, and instead Jesus is fulfilling the verses that say that he's coming in on a donkey, humble, and he's coming to die. He's coming into town, and as they're saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, hail him, hail him," he's riding into town on a donkey, and he's crying and he's weeping because he knows that they don't understand why he's really there, and they're rejecting why he's really there. And so after that happens, Jesus goes on to tell them about how that unless he dies, and specifically all of us die to ourselves, that we cannot really live. And then he comes on to say, and he talks about judgment, about how he's the light of the world. And it's amazing because he is the light of the world. And John starts out this whole book in John chapter 1 verse 4. And he says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That he is the one who brings life to men, physical life, spiritual life. But he also gives us light. And light always speaks about holiness and purity and righteousness. But yet they won't receive him. They like his miracles, they like his works, but they don't like his message and they don't like his words. And you know, today a lot of people like Jesus, don't they? But they don't like the Jesus of the Bible. They like a loving, caring Jesus, but they don't like a Jesus that says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So at the end of that section right there, what happens is because they won't believe and they won't receive him, what happens is Jesus goes and hides himself. And Jesus lets them know that you have rejected my word, you have rejected everything I've said and done, and so guess what? Now you no longer have an opportunity to hear what I have to say. Your time is up. You don't get another chance. You know, the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die and then to judgment. We only have this life, this opportunity, a certain amount of time to receive Christ or reject Christ. And if we don't receive him, somewhere along the line, the Bible says that God does not always strive with man, that he's long-suffering and he's patient. But there comes a time where if we reject him, he just leaves us alone and lets us go our own way. And so as we see that, Jesus at last says, "Why you have the light? Believe in the light." And then he disappears. And he says, let's get to verse 44 today, and we'll finish up 44 through the end of the chapter. It says, "And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. the word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And so what happens here in verses 44, remember the last thing that was said in verse 42, it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Remember what happens there? That word praise is the word glory or doxa. It means that they love man's glory. They love man's praise instead of getting praise from God. You know, it's amazing how much we care about what people think about us, and we don't worry so much about what God worries and thinks about us sometimes, do we? And yet these people would not trust in Christ. They would not believe in Christ because they wanted man's praise rather than God's praise. And so that's why it says in verse 44, then Jesus cried out. Now, let's think about this for a second. Jesus has already went and hidden himself, right? But then it comes in and says, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me, and he says all these things. Well, guess what? Jesus is gone. Jesus has hid himself. So what John does is John kind of jumps back and he kind of summarizes everything that Jesus has said during his whole ministry. The next chapter, we're going to get into him washing the disciples' feet, the upper room discourse. We're down to the last 3 or 4 days. And what's going to happen? He's going to die on the cross very soon, right? And so what happens is we're down to the nitty-gritty. We're down to the end of the book. Even though we've got about 7 more chapters, all these 7 chapters are dedicated to the last few days of Jesus' life. The upper room discourse, where the trial, the crucifixion, his resurrection. That all happens within about 3 days or so, 3 or 4 days. And so we're down to probably 4 days at this point. But guess what? What John wants to do, even though Jesus has left, he comes back and he summarizes everything that we've seen in the last 12 chapters. And maybe this happened in John chapter 10, where Jesus was in the over there at the Feast of Dedication. I'm not sure. It happens in John chapter 7 also that he says in verse 37 that Jesus shouts out there in John chapter 7 verse 37. And he says, on the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He's shouting there. And what John is trying to do is he's contrasting the fact that these people are silent. They will not speak up and confess Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? It says, if you confess me before men, I will do what? Confess you before my Father, right? Well, guess what? They would not confess him before men. They were afraid of men, so they would not confess him. And so they're silent. They're quiet. Nobody's saying a word, even though they may believe somewhat in what Jesus is, but they don't believe savingly. But what happens is John's contrasting the fact that they're scared to speak out. They're scared of people. But you know what Jesus is doing? He's shouting from the rooftops. Hey, if anyone believes in me, believes not in me, but in the one who sent me. In other words, Jesus is crying out as loud as he can. He's shouting from the rooftops. Hey, you need to trust in me. You need to believe in me. That's what Jesus is doing in contrast to these people who are scared to speak. And you know what? That speaks to us too. And I look around this room and I see all these folks, and I know a lot of y'all have invited people. And that's the reason we have so many people in here every week. Is because y'all tell people to come and come to the service, and I know that. But you know, we have a personal responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ, right? We have a responsibility to let others know that one day the statistics are in, and one out of one do die. And one day we're all going to pass out of this earth unless Jesus comes back and raptures us. But if not, everybody's going to pass out of this world, and it's our responsibility to let people know that there is appointed unto man, men and women, once to die and then the judgment. And one day we will stand before Jesus Christ, and we will either stand before Him as a saved person, or we will stand before Him and He will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And that's true of all men, all women, all people who are old enough to have understood the truth about the gospel. And so Jesus cries out and basically says, look, if you believe in me, you're believing in me, but you're also believing in the one who sent me. That's the message that He's given already in John chapter 5, John chapter 8, John chapter 10. He says, if you believe in me, you believe in the one who sent me. You believe in the Father. And then He says, and he who sees me, verse 45, sees him who sent me. He comes back to that again. He just basically says that the consequence of belief here is, if you believe in me, guess what? You believe in the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. What did He tell Thomas after He's resurrected? Thomas says, you know, I won't believe unless I see. And he says, come, put your hand in my side. And He tells the disciples another time, He says, look, have I been with you so long and you don't know? If you've seen me, you've seen who? You've seen the Father, right? And so Jesus is letting them know, hey, if you really want to see God, you have to see Jesus for who He is and believe in Him for who He is. And then He says in verse 46, I have come as a light in the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. None of this is new, folks. We've been talking about this for 12 chapters. Jesus says, I've come as a light into the world. I've come as that which... What does light do? It dispels darkness, right? It reveals truth. It reveals things. I mean, you can walk in a room and it's dark, you can't see a thing, right? But when you turn the light on, you can see. And it's amazing. I don't know, sometimes people, when they get saved, what's that song? I saw the light. I saw the light. You know, and what happens is God turns on the light inside of us and we see things for what they really are. It's because God says we're walking in darkness, that we really don't understand the way this world works and the way things are happening, and we just don't get it. But it's like all of a sudden when we trust in Christ, He turns on the light, and all of a sudden we see those things are wrong, and that there's more joy and happiness and fulfillment in doing what's right than there is in doing all these wrong things. And it's amazing how it turns people's lives around. And Jesus said, I've come as a light in the world. That if you abide me, if you remain in me, you trust in me, you will not remain in darkness. In other words, light will show you what to really do in life, how to live, what to do. And then He says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, verse 47, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world, right? I mean, we could go all the way back to John chapter 3 and verse 18. You remember that we always talk about John 3:16, right? John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? But what does verse 17 say? Most people don't know that verse. He says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so basically, what he says there is, yes, everybody has an opportunity to trust Christ. And God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. But you know what happens? If a man will not trust Christ, if a woman will not trust Christ, they are literally judging themselves, right? They're putting their own selves under judgment. And that's what Jesus is saying over here. He says, anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. I didn't come to judge the world, but I came to save the world. I mean, yes, one day Jesus will be the judge. Jesus is going to be the judge, the jury, the whole nine yards one day. We'll stand before Him, and He will either say, come into heaven, or we're already in heaven, or He'll say, depart from me. Because He is the one who is the ultimate judge, because He has died on the cross for our sins. And it's the fact is, yes, He did not come to judge. He came to save. It says in Mark 10:45 that He came to seek and save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came. He came to restore us back to the way it was in the beginning in Genesis. Back to where Adam and Eve had that fellowship with God, and they walked with God and they talked with God like in the garden. I walked with Him in the garden. You know, and we have really an intimate relationship with Him today, because He doesn't walk with us in the garden, but He lives in us and through us. But He wants one day for us to live with Him in heaven and have that deeper, closer, more intimate relationship with Him. But we cannot have it if we don't trust Him. So if we reject Him, then it is His Word that judges us. Because He says in verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So the words that Jesus says, the words in this book, the words in this Bible, these are what going to judge us, right? By this, we'll either live and go to heaven, or we'll die and go to hell. That's the two choices. There's no choices in between. And so, yes, we have to live and breathe and pay taxes and die, but you gotta either go to heaven or you gotta go to hell too. Your choice is yours. You either receive Him or you reject Him. And, you know, it's sort of like this. You know, people get mad with the judges and the juries when they do what? Sentence them, right? I mean, you know, I do jail ministry and prison ministry too, and you know, it's amazing that people will hate a judge, they will hate a jury, they will hate the witnesses, they will want to hurt them because they did something wrong, but they're mad with somebody else because they told on them or because they made a right decision, a good judgment. That's what's happening here. Sort of like gravity. Sort of like gravity. You can climb up on top of this building and you can step off. Gravity doesn't care. You're going to hit the ground. I don't care who you are, because right's right and wrong's wrong. Gravity says whatever, you know, goes up comes down, right? Or whatever is up and steps off comes down. And you can judge, you can blame people, you can blame Jesus, and I hear people all the time blaming Jesus. You know, I told y'all the other day, I know a guy, you need to pray for him, but he said that Christianity was too exclusive because there was only one way. And I said, look, if there's only one cure for cancer, you'd take it, wouldn't you? If there was only one cure for diabetes or one cure for, you know, old age or, you know, whatever it is, whatever sickness you got, you take it, right? But when it comes down to Christ, well, oh, that's bad because there's only one way. But we want to blame God. We want to blame the jury. We want to blame the medical community because, well, they told us we got a sickness, we got a disease, or we got a problem. But it's like this. this world operates on rules and regulations. It operates on this instruction book. Somebody said the Bible stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And so, if we don't receive the instructions and God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and if we don't trust in it, we don't believe in it, we can't blame God for rejecting us. Because God made the rules. God made the regulations. You know, when you're driving a speed limit and you overrun the speed limit, you can't blame the policeman because he gives you a ticket. You get mad at yourself because you drove too fast or you got caught. But, you know, the law is the law. And this is the law that God gave us. And He says right's right and wrong's wrong. And you either take Him at His word or you don't. And so then He says, verse 49, for I have not spoken on my own authority. In other words, Jesus says, look, I'm just not tooting my own whistle and blowing my own whistle and tooting my own bell, you know. Basically, He says, the reason I'm saying this is because I was given this by my Father. I was sent by somebody. I'm just His representative. I'm just His messenger. I am the one who represents God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, that God has spoken in many ways, at various times, in various ways, through His prophets, but in these last days He has spoken through His Son. In other words, you know, Israel and all these other folks, we have opportunities every day to know the truth. We have so much Christian radio. Everybody has an opportunity to hear the truth. But most people will not receive it. I don't know why. All I know is the Bible says that we want to do it our way. We don't want a Lord. We don't want a boss. And then He says, but the Father who sent me has given me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this command, or His command, is everlasting life. So what He says is, I'm only saying what the Father told me to say, right? He's been saying that all along. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I don't do anything on my own authority, but I do everything under God's authority. And that's what God wants us to do, is to be under His authority. And I've heard it said this way, if you can't be under, you'll never be over. If you can't learn to receive instruction, you will never be able to be lifted up to the place where you could give instructions or be in authority. Because you have to learn how to be under authority before you can be in authority. Because you have to understand that when people ask you to do something or tell you to do something, that you're supposed to do it. But the basic human nature is to do what? Rebel against authority, right? And so Jesus says He gave me a command. And what is the command? I know His command is what? Everlasting life. Did you know that the gospel is a command? God is commanding us to believe and to trust and to go to heaven. It is a command. That's what He says here. I know His command is everlasting life. He wants everlasting life for everybody. He says, believe. Believe, trust. And He says, therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father told me, so I speak. And so Jesus is telling us that everything that He says is from the Father. And the Father commands all men to be saved. The Bible says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. For today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us over and over and over again that God is glorious. We sing the songs, how great Thou art. I mean, when I, an awesome wonder, consider all the worlds, or the old word used to be all your works. thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the mighty thunder. Thy power this throughout the universe displayed. I mean, if we look around and see all the wonderful stuff that God has made, we ought to understand that we should glorify Him and honor Him and praise Him. And that's why Jesus came, that we might have life and life abundantly, that we might have joy and we might have peace. But ultimately, you know, the real reason Jesus came is that we might glorify the Father through the way we live. And the only way we can glorify the Father through the way we live, that's Romans 8:29. He said that we would be conformed to His image. The only way we can glorify the Father is by living like Jesus. And the only way we can live like Jesus is if we trust in Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So that's the command today, ladies and gentlemen. Repent and be saved. Turn from your sins. I imagine most of us here have. But if you haven't, it's never too late. Today, if you will believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that He died in your place, that when He died, right before He died, He said, "It is finished." That word, tetelestai, is the word finished. It means your debt has been paid in full. That's what you get when you get a when you pay a check and they give you back a little receipt and it says balance zero. That's what Jesus says. I have paid your sin debt. I have paid it all. And that's the song we'll sing to finish today. 77, Jesus paid it all. I mean, He didn't pay part of it, did He? But you know, some churches teach that Jesus only paid part of it. Some churches teach that you got to do works, that you got to be baptized, that you got to take communion, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the other. But if Jesus paid it all, do we need to do anything? No, right? If Jesus did everything on that cross, then there's absolutely for us nothing for us to do. But the Bible says, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So it's believe plus nothing. Trust in Him, Him alone, and thou wilt be saved. Let's pray. Father, we love You, we thank You, and we thank You that where there was no way, You made a way, that Jesus paid it all. And all to Him we owe, and sin had left that crimson stain. But if we trust in You, You wash us white as snow. Father, I pray if there's even one today here that has never trusted You, today they would cry out and say, "Lord Jesus, save me." And they would ask You to forgive them and trust in You, knowing that there is only one way to get to heaven, because You said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one, absolutely no one, gets to the Father but by Me." And You said that everybody needs a Savior, because You said there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who does right. All we like sheep have turned our way, turned aside and gone our own way. And God has laid the iniquity on Jesus, because He paid it all. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 77, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left that crimson stain, but He washes me white as snow.
I'm the child without no more. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved, be loved to me.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten.
We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out, go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me." Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them, and it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, "If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me." And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.